The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Second hour is here. We appreciate you being around. Busy first hour. Brandon Marcella joined us, giving us the latest on Auburn and Alabama, as well as Tennessee. We'll check in with the Big Ten. They are coming back Friday, so we must pay homage ever so briefly. Your phone calls continue here at 855-242-7285. And Lee is up next. Hey, Lee, good afternoon. Lee, you there? Okay, let's give Lee a couple of seconds here. Lee, one more time, and I don't hear you. So Joe is up next in Colorado. Hey, Joe.
Well, actually, it's John, but that's okay. Just want to let you know, this is the first time I've ever called into a sports talk show, but wanted to address the 800-pound gorilla in the room that nobody seems to want to address, and that's the Georgia secondary. Ever since Kirby's taken over, we haven't really had what I consider to be a great secondary. I gave Kirby a pass for a couple of years figuring, being a former defensive back, he'd get the right people and the right coaches in there. We'd have the best secondary in the world, but I haven't seen it. And the first three games I watched this season that Georgia played, I noticed there was a lot of receivers getting behind our secondary. And thankfully for us, nobody exploited that. So we got lucky. You know, either they didn't throw to the receiver when he was open, or they threw the receiver and he dropped the ball. But apparently Alabama watched the same film that I watched and saw the same problem I saw, and they shined a big, huge spotlight on our secondary and its problems on Saturday. And I'm just curious, at what point does Kirby Smart do something about the secondary?
Well, I bet he's working on it right now. I'm sure he's also glad you pointed it out. Murray is up next in Warner Robins. Hey, Murray, good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing there? Well, this is the first time calling in. I just want to say that Georgia and Alabama game was pretty crazy, and it was something else there. What do you think?
Well, I think it came down to a classic coaching mismatch, to be perfectly blunt. Kirby Smart got his lunch money taken from him in the second half, and we've seen that before, and I think that's what's so frustrating to Georgia fans who know what a good program they have under him, know how successful it's been, but the glaring weakness is the same, and the inability to beat Nick Saban. And by the way, it's not like very many people have ever beaten Nick Saban. Dabo Sweeney, Hugh Freeze, Gus Malzahn, and I believe Les Miles are the only people still coaching who can say that. Let's continue. Kent Khan is up next. And you are in Nashville. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
We're doing well.
Good deal. Appreciate you having me on.
Thank
Paul,
you.
Paul, I had a few questions for you. First and foremost, a statement. How about those Kentucky Wildcats? Terry Wilson, 14-5 as a starter. Not throwing the ball down the field all that much, partly due to design. One of only two Kentucky quarterbacks, Derek Ramsey, the other, to beat Tennessee and Florida on the road in their tenure.
Yeah, it's been amazing. We had Coach Stoops on yesterday, and he's so cool. He does not let anything really faze him up or down. And losing to Ole Miss was really, really tough, especially after the Auburn game, which I think Kentucky fans may never quite reason that they couldn't have won that game, and they surely could have. But beating Tennessee is one thing. Beating them in Knoxville is unprecedented for the modern and young generation, but beating them to a pulp was something that I never thought I would see.
Second, to follow on that, what do you think our prospects are looking like against redshirt freshmen? Threw for 400 yards, 4 touchdowns, just took down the Tigers at home. Secondly, home prospects against Bennett, threw 3 INTs against Bama. We got 9 picks the last 2 games, didn't play 2 great quarterbacks. Realist here, Georgia's Georgia. What do you think about us being able to?
Yeah, I think they're pretty good. I had an Alabama person tell me that they really were concerned about the Kentucky game. It's a game that they're not familiar with. They don't play very often, and it is a tough game for everyone, and that is that's a game that I don't think many of us thought we would be talking much about. That's an add-on game with a 10-game schedule, but I think they need to make up a game somewhere along the way, as we, you know, to make up for that Ole Miss game, and I think they'll be in really good shape. I think they're going to finish very, very strong. Hey, thank you for the call. Great to have you on. Clay is in Fayetteville, and I wonder what you want to talk about.
How about them Hogs?
How about them Hogs?
Hey, you know, I've got a couple questions. I don't want to take it too much of time. But
sure.
What is it going to take to keep Barry Odom here for as long as we can? And just want to hear your thoughts on the rest of our schedule.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what Barry's thinking, Clay. I think he's having a great time. You know, remember, I'm sure he was still being paid off by Missouri. I don't remember the exact terms of his contract, but you know, I don't know why he would be in a big hurry just to leave. If he received a head coaching position, yes, but just to go to another coordinator spot. I mean, he's not just a defensive coordinator. You know, he's as close to a number one and a half or two head coach there is. I think Sam Pittman, I know he does. He's told us several times, relies on him about everything. So I think Barry's having fun. And coaching, being a head coach at a program that's going back and forth and hovering around 500 in the SEC is not much fun. Kerry is up next in Tennessee. Kerry, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hello, Paul.
Hey there.
Lord, after hearing all this conversation, they don't know where to start. But Trevor Lawrence is my last comment. Please don't let me forget that. But folks, guys, 7 years of education and everything that I went through and all, Thanksgiving's coming up. Greatest time of your life, 25 relatives over and everything. I would really consider just having Thanksgiving with your family. Herd immunity, yeah, it would work. It will work. But it worked 1,000 years ago when we basically lost generations of people, if not a whole population of people around the world. I'm calling from Clarksville, by the way, the hometown of Harry Galbraith and Travis Stevens, and one of the greatest athletes ever seen. You'll remember James Fly Williams.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
But just get down. Nothing against Mack at Alabama. He's a great guy. He's going to have a great career in the NFL. I hope he gets with the right team. You know, nothing like Archie, you know, and all that crap. But I saw one of the prettiest plays I've ever seen, and I'm not a Bama fan, since Bama lined up 12 men on the line of scrimmage against the University of Miami. I thought that was the greatest thing I'd ever seen on their defensive side of the ball. But the other day, Trevor Lawrence is dropping back to go into his scanning mode, to scan the field, within two steps. He's looking to the right. He's scanning to the left. And all of a sudden, I mean, within less than a second, this guy yanks that head back real quick, as fast as you can imagine, plants that back foot, throws the ball about 70 miles an hour, hits the guy right in front of his face where he just puts his hands up, which is tight end, and he walks into the end zone, snap of the finger in about 8 seconds, so we're out 70 yards. I mean, this guy is the second coming to Joe Namath, a young Joe Namath. He's with the right team. This guy he's going to put Brady in bad shape if he gets with the right team. He is that good, honestly. If the camera was on the field looking at the play behind Trevor, so you can see him scanning the field, you can see him second step into his drop. As he's going to his left, coming from the right, he noticed that tight end wide open. He yanks it back as quick as you can imagine and slams that ball in his hand 14 yards down the field within 2 seconds. I mean, this ball had to have been going 70 miles an hour. And from that view of the camera, there's no other defensive player in the screen. He just walked straight in 70 yards against Georgia Tech for a touchdown. He caught it that quick.
Hey, Kerry, thank you. I hate to run. We are heading to a break. I appreciate all the calls. When we come back, we'll welcome back to the world of college football, the Big Ten. They have been missing since August. Teddy Greenstein. from the Chicago Tribune is next.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Second hour is here. We appreciate you being around. Busy first hour. Brandon Marcello joined us, giving us the latest on Auburn and Alabama, as well as Tennessee. We'll check in with the Big Ten. They are coming back Friday, so we must pay homage ever so briefly. Your phone calls continue here at 855-242-7285. And Lee is up next. Hey, Lee, good afternoon. Lee, you there? Okay, let's give Lee a couple of seconds here. Lee, one more time, and I don't hear you. So Joe is up next in Colorado. Hey, Joe.
Well, actually, it's John, but that's okay. Just want to let you know, this is the first time I've ever called into a sports talk show, but wanted to address the 800-pound gorilla in the room that nobody seems to want to address, and that's the Georgia secondary. Ever since Kirby's taken over, we haven't really had what I consider to be a great secondary. I gave Kirby a pass for a couple of years, figuring being a former defensive back, he'd get the right people and the right coaches in there. We'd have the best secondary in the world, but I haven't seen it. And the first three games I watched this season that Georgia played, I noticed there was a lot of receivers getting behind our secondary. And thankfully for us, nobody exploited that. So we got lucky. You know, either they didn't throw to the receiver when he was open, or they threw the receiver and he dropped the ball. But apparently Alabama watched the same film that I watched and saw the same problem I saw, and they shined a big, huge spotlight on our secondary and its problems on Saturday. And I'm just curious, at what point does Kirby Smart do something about the secondary?
Well, I bet he's working on it right now. I'm sure he's also glad you pointed it out. Murray is up next in Warner Robins. Hey, Murray, good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing there? Well, this is the first time calling in. I just want to say that Georgia and Alabama game was pretty crazy, and it was something else there. What do you think?
Well, I think it came down to a classic coaching mismatch, to be perfectly blunt. Kirby Smart got his lunch money taken from him in the second half, and we've seen that before, and I think that's what's so frustrating to Georgia fans who know what a good program they have under him, know how successful it's been, but the glaring weakness is the same, and the inability to beat Nick Saban. And by the way, it's not like very many people have ever beaten Nick Saban. Dabo Sweeney, Hugh Freeze, Gus Malzahn, and I believe Les Miles are the only people still coaching who can say that. Let's continue. Kent Khan is up next. And you are in Nashville. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
We're doing well.
Good deal. Appreciate you having me on.
Thank
Paul,
you.
Paul, I had a few questions for you. First and foremost, a statement. How about those Kentucky Wildcats? Terry Wilson, 14-5 as a starter. Not throwing the ball down the field all that much, partly due to design. One of only two Kentucky quarterbacks, Derek Ramsey, the other, to beat Tennessee and Florida on the road in their tenure.
Yeah, it's been amazing. We had Coach Stoops on yesterday, and he's so cool. He does not let anything really faze him up or down. And losing to Ole Miss was really, really tough, especially after the Auburn game, which I think Kentucky fans may never quite reason that they couldn't have won that game, and they surely could have. But Yeah, beating Tennessee is one thing. Beating them in Knoxville is unprecedented for the modern and young generation. But beating them to a pulp was something that I never thought I would see.
Second, to follow on that, what do you think our prospects are looking like against redshirt freshmen, threw for 400 yards, four touchdowns, just took down the Tigers at home. Secondly, home prospects against Bennett, threw three INTs against Bama. You know, we got 9 picks the last 2 games, didn't play 2 great quarterbacks. Realist here, you know, Georgia's Georgia. You know, what do you think about us being able to?
Yeah, I think they're pretty good. And, you know, I had an Alabama person tell me that they really were concerned about the Kentucky game. It's a game that, you know, they're not familiar with. They don't play very often. And it is a tough game for everyone. That's a game that I don't think many of us thought we would be talking much about. That's an add-on game with a 10-game schedule. But I think they need to make up a game somewhere along the way to make up for that Ole Miss game. And I think they'll be in really good shape. I think they're going to finish very, very strong. Hey, thank you for the call. Great to have you on. Clay is in Fayetteville, and I wonder what you want to talk about.
How about them Hogs?
How about them Hogs?
I know I've got a couple questions. I don't want to take up too much of time. But
sure.
What is it going to take to keep Barry Odom here for as long as we can? And just want to hear your thoughts on the rest of our schedule.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what Barry's thinking, Clay. I think he's having a great time. Remember, I'm sure he was still being paid off by Missouri. I don't remember the exact terms of his contract, but. Yeah, I don't know why he would be in a big hurry just to leave. If he received a head coaching position, yes, but just to go to another coordinator spot. I mean, he's not just a defensive coordinator. He's as close to a number 1.5 or 2 head coach there is. I think Sam Pittman, I know he does. He's told us several times, relies on him about everything. So I think Barry's having fun. And coaching, being a head coach at a program that's going back and forth and hovering around 500 in the SEC is not much fun. Kerry is up next in Tennessee. Kerry, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hello, Paul.
Hey there.
Lord, after hearing all this conversation, they don't know where to start. But Trevor Lawrence is my last comment. Please don't let me forget that. But folks, guys, 7 years of education and everything that I went through and all, Thanksgiving's coming up. Greatest time of your life, 25 relatives over and everything. I would really consider just having Thanksgiving with your family. Herd immunity, yeah, it would work. It will work, but it worked 1,000 years ago when we basically lost generations of people, if not a whole population of people around the world. I'm calling from Clarksville, by the way, the hometown of Harry Galbraith and Travis Stevens, and one of the greatest athletes ever seen. You'll remember James Fly Williams.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
But just get down. Nothing against Mack at Alabama. He's a great guy. He's going to have a great career in the NFL. I hope he gets with the right team. You know, nothing like Archie, you know, and all that crap. But I saw one of the prettiest plays I've ever seen, and I'm not a Bama fan, since Bama lined up 12 men on the line of scrimmage against the University of Miami. I thought that was the greatest thing I'd ever seen on their defensive side of the ball. But the other day, Trevor Lawrence is dropping back to go into his scanning mode, to scan the field, within 2 steps. He's looking to the right. He's scanning to the left. And all of a sudden, I mean, within less than a second, this guy yanks that head back real quick, as fast as you can imagine, plants that back foot, throws the ball about 70 miles an hour, hits the guy right in front of his face where he just puts his hands up, which is tight end, and he walks into the end zone, snap of the finger in about 8 seconds, so for about 70 yards. I mean, this guy is the second coming to Joe Namath, a young Joe Namath. He's with the right team. This guy he's going to put Brady in bad shape if he gets with the right team. He is that good, honestly. If the camera was on the field looking at the play behind Trevor, So you can see him scanning the field. You can see him second step into his drop. He's, as he's going to his left, coming from the right, he noticed that tight end wide open. He yanks it back as quick as you can imagine and slams that ball in his hand 14 yards down the field within 2 seconds. I mean, this ball had to have been going 70 miles an hour. And from that view of the camera, there's no other defensive player in the screen. He just walked straight in 70 yards against Georgia Tech for a touchdown. He caught it that quick.
Hey, Kerry, thank you. I hate to run. We are heading to a break. I appreciate all the calls. When we come back, we'll welcome back to the world of college football, the Big Ten. They have been missing since August. Teddy Greenstein from the Chicago Tribune is next.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back here on a Tuesday afternoon. Let's check in with Danny in Florida. Danny, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hey there, Danny.
Hey.
Hey there.
Paul?
Yes.
It's Paul. Paul, I've had 2 strokes. I don't talk too good, but I want to share something with you.
Sure. Take your time.
Okay. My great-great-grandmother's cure for flu. I'd like to share that with you. Hey, Paul. And the rest of it.
Yeah, Danny, let me offer this bit of advice. If you could turn down the TV and just talk to me on the phone, it would be less distracting, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
It's down.
Okay, perfect.
First thing you do, Paul, is take a laxative. Take a laxative, clean your system out. The coronavirus is in your stomach.
So you're suggesting, Danny, that if you end up getting the virus, a laxative will flush it out of your system?
Yes, a flu, dripping nose, cough, any of that kind of stuff.
Okay.
You take this recipe and knock it out in 2 days.
And who told you this? Your grandmother?
Yeah, my grandmother used it for years. It works. It works, Paul. It won't work unless you use it, though.
Okay. Well. Thank goodness I haven't had to deal with it, but I will. I'll head to CVS immediately after the show and make sure I'm prepared.
Listen. Take a laxative. Then they give you something back on your stomach.
Okay.
Some Jewish pellet cells.
Well, I remember that. Yeah.
Chicken noodle soup.
Yeah, chicken soup.
Something on your stomach.
My grandmother made great chicken soup, by the way.
Yeah, and then take 8 ounces of tomato juice, red juice.
Okay.
Tomato juice.
Danny, the only thing I wish you had told us this a couple of months ago. We might have been able to save a lot of people's hardship.
Paul, I tried.
Okay.
I've been on this phone for hours trying to get you.
Well, I'm glad you made it in, and I hope that remedy will serve everyone. Danny, you take care of yourself. How old are you?
I'm 82. Let me finish it.
Well, you sound good. Well, you take care of yourself.
Let me finish it, Paul. Please, let me finish
sure.
the recipe.
Sure, okay, of course.
Take 8 ounces of tomato juice and our VA juice, our clamato juice, and put a teaspoon, a heavy teaspoon of cayenne pepper and mix it up like a Bloody Mary.
Okay. Well, Danny,
did you have morning and night, two nights, four glasses. It's over with, Paul. That coronavirus is gone, guaranteed. But it won't work unless you try it. It's not gonna hurt you. 2 days, you know.
Well, Danny, you take care of yourself, and thank you for offering that advice. So let's check in with Kelton, who is in Mississippi. Hello, Kelton.
Hello, Paul. The first time caller, first time getting through.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Glad to be here. My question is about Mike Leach. I'm a Mississippi State fan, always have been, and which by inheritance makes me want Mike Leach to succeed. But I have to ask the question, does he ever talk to his defensive coach? Because they have a sound defense, a great defense. And me being a football player back in the day, I played defense. I would be chomping at the bit to see an offensive line so spread and me don't have to worry about the guy in front of me.
You know, Kelton, I remember talking about Leach a few weeks ago, and the rap on him has always been his defense and that he has nothing to do with it. I'm curious. Let me ask you a question. What is the tone and tenor of the Mississippi State fans right now with this absolute debacle of a stretch?
Well, Mississippi State, we've got some loyal fans. We've been through ups and downs. The one thing we've always hung our hat on is the effort putting forth. And right now, we're starting to see several Schrader join the transfer protocol today. Colin Hill sat out last week
right.
for disciplinary reasons. So it seems to me like the locker room is.
Yeah, I saw Schrader came out today. Yeah, I mean, I'm a little concerned about this this program right now, and you know, Leach is a brilliant mind, but his ability to keep everything together has always been one of the criticisms of him, and I think he's going to be severely tested here.
Yeah, and my biggest concern is, you know, the mark of a great coach is he can take an average team and make them good. He can also see what his team is there and build an offense around it. You know, sometimes you have to scheme with what you got. You can't just ask a 300-pound-plus offensive lineman to shuffle back and forth and slide into protection like you can a 225-pound guy.
No, you're right. We are going to talk about that a little bit later with Nick Suss. Hey, thank you for the call. Eric is next up in San Diego. Hello, Eric.
Derek, Paul.
Derek, I'm sorry.
Good question for you. No worries. I wanted to put this on the table and ask you a good question about our new quarterback there at Alabama and Mac Jones. And when did you buy in on his IPO if he was, you know, a stock? I bought in last year. I thought he was doing wonderful at the end of the year. He could make all the long throws. He could make the short throws. And he adds an element to Alabama's game now to where you never really get behind the chain. But for you, when did you buy in on that IPO?
Derek, by the way, I wish I had gotten the original offering when you got it. I began hearing – I mean, I thought he was good last year. I thought the fact that he threw two pick sixes, one which was not his fault against Auburn, took away an opportunity. Had he won that game and he had a really good chance of doing it, I think we would have all been buying in sooner. But I started hearing as early as June and July, before much started happening, how good he looked. People that were down there watching, talking to people that were with him, and the enthusiasm and the conversation really began to build to a crescendo right before the season. So I'm not surprised what he's doing now, but there's no way I would have taken a flyer on him when you did.
That's a good, honest answer. You know, I'm one of the few in my family who are even Tide fans who believe that, and we thought it was going to be a drop-off this year. But I'm beyond impressed, and he's doing things that other quarterbacks haven't done with 400-plus yard games, and he's in, what, the top eight or so in passer rating right now. Less thrown balls, but just as good a completion percentage as the other top seven up there. So I see more coming from him, and he's a potential first-rounder if he keeps this up.
Yeah, you're right. It's so unbelievable that, you know, with all the conversation about Bryce Young coming in and Mac Jones almost looks like the forgotten man, but he showed up ready to play. Hey, thank you for the call. We had Mac on, I think, last Tuesday, and you could just read the body language, the confidence that he has. Quiet confidence, but confidence. And it's really been fun to keep track of. Rodney is up next in D.C. Rodney, you're on the air.
Hey, Paul, how you doing? Woo Pig Suey from the nation's capital.
Woo Pig.
Definitely. Paul, I just want to say finally Arkansas has a coaching staff since Petrino fell off the motorcycle. Yeah. Frank Broyles wouldn't have hired the last two coaches. I'm not going to comment on them. And I think Arkansas can beat everybody on the schedule besides two teams, Alabama and Florida. What do you think about that? Like 2 weeks from now in A&M, like, what do you think about that?
Yeah, Rodney, I have made a hard and fast vow not to get too far ahead this year because of the vagaries of COVID and the unpredictability. But I will tell you this. I would never doubt Sam Pittman. I think there'll be ups and downs because the schedule is fairly difficult. But if he didn't win another game, I would be impressed. And I think he'll win a couple more games. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. We are heading to the break. We will continue with your phone calls at 855-242-7285. A lot more to do. We've already had quite a few guests. We'll check in on the Mississippi State situation a little bit later on. And we are coming back with more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. And Patrick is in South Carolina, and you are next up. Good afternoon, Patrick.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Now, I'm an avid college football fan, but I'm not necessarily well-versed in all the more technical rules. Now, I was watching the Auburn game when Bo Nix spiked the ball, and it looked like an easy fumble to me. But the controversy was all about if he was facing forward or backwards or whatever. But the explanation was so long, and I was trying to figure out what actually happened.
Yeah, as best I can explain, everything about it was wrong. But here was the clincher. The official blew the whistle, in essence, rendering the play dead. And had he not blown the whistle, it seemed to me inadvertent, but there's not much you can do about it. Once that happened, I think the play was over. And if you take the whistle out of it, it's Arkansas's ball, and the game goes to Arkansas. It was that close.
Well, yeah, I was watching. I was going to say there was no Auburn around. They could have just ran it right down.
No, it was over. To me, it's really unfortunate. But there are certain things you can't undo, I don't believe. What's done is done. I think the SEC did a pretty poor job of explaining it. They should have just been honest about it and said, we blew it.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah, why not, when you make them, don't try to lawyer your way out of a bad decision.
Well, that's what I meant when you kept talking, and I was like, I've never heard an explanation this long for anything in a sports event.
Yeah, well, there's an old adage, and I'm guilty of it. People have asked me things before, and you try to explain. And the longer you explain, and even though it's 100% true, the less people listen. It should be applicable in officiating as well. You make a mistake, afterwards say, we made a mistake. You don't have to go any further, because once you admit you made a mistake, it's pretty obvious the other team should have won.
Right. Well, great. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you. Nice of you to call, and I hope my explanation was correct. Charles is up next in Memphis. Hey, Charles.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Charles, we are doing great.
I see there's a lot of Razorback fans in college.
I feel like I've finally accomplished my dream. I'm hosting a show in Northwest Arkansas because it feels like it's all Razorback.
Woo pig, baby.
I'm going to go get my Razorback hat and wear it tomorrow.
Yeah, please do.
I've got one.
Hey, look, I remember when we hired Sam Pittman, and you said you wasn't really sure, you didn't really know about him, you know. How are you feeling so far with
him? Yeah, I mean, the only thing I knew about Sam Pittman was that he had been a really good recruiter. I mean, I was in shock. I can't say I wasn't, but I will say this. A couple of days later, he came on our program, and afterwards, I kept shaking my head like, I really like this guy. I don't know if he can coach a lick, but I like him. And then he told us that day that he had hired Barry Odom, and that was such a smart decision. And we talked to him, a dozen times since then, and he's just one of those people that he's like everybody's favorite uncle. I mean, you just want to, you know, sit in the back porch and have a beer and then go fishing.
Yeah, you are right. We love him. We
and you know what I really like about him, Charles? Unlike the previous coach, you didn't really have to have your hand on your wallet. He was about to try to sell you something that you didn't want and wouldn't work.
Yeah.
And you know, Chad Morris, from the day he got there, was you know, Red Bull all the way on how great everything's going to be. And then after the first season, which was a disaster, he just hit the reset button and tried to sell the same nonsense.
Yes, you are absolutely correct. That's absolutely correct. That's exactly what he did. And he sold us a lot of lies, and now they're having the same problem at Auburn. So we're happy as Razorback fans.
Well, you should be. I have always had a blast when I've been out there many, many times. I have a lot of friends in the Northwest Arkansas quadrant. And if ever a program deserved a really good coach and a great turnaround, it's the Razorbacks, because their fans are incredible.
Yeah, and we're glad that you care about us, Paul.
Well, thank you. Hey, Charles, you stay in touch, okay?
We'll do.
By the way, you're in a pretty good city too. That's my hometown, so I've got.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. Grew up in Memphis.
Oh, that's good to know. What school did you go to, Paul?
I was born at Baptist Hospital.
Okay, that's where my kids was born.
And I graduated from White Station.
Okay, White Station. Wow, that's not too far from me. Okay. That's good to know, Paul.
When all this COVID's over, I'm coming to see you, and we'll go get some. We'll get some barbecue. Hey, thanks, Charles. Appreciate it. We are heading to a break, and we got two more hours to go. We hope you'll stick around.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.